And today we're going to wrap up our series this week on faithfulness, the law of promotion. And faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, and it operates according to spiritual law. We're not talking about paradigms of human virtue or anything like that that they teach in some churches, that you got to attain unto this or attain unto that. No, you've just got to acknowledge what's already in you and put that to work. When the Bible says love, love.
That's right, amen.
And you're exercising and you're growing and you're deepening your roots of the fruit of love and joy and peace. So it says, Jesus said this in John chapter 15, verse 16. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I chose you." Boy, that feels good, just going down. Doesn't that feel good? Jesus chose you. Is this word for you? Of course it is. Are you part of the church? Then it's for you. This is the head of the church, your Lord, talking to you. And he's saying, you didn't choose me. If it was left up to me, I'd still be playing in, well, I wouldn't be. I'd be dead. But I'd still be playing in rock bands and whatever. But I chose you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Amen. Do you know your fruit? Your fruit speaks you, speaks for you. Your fruit, he knows, you know, the devil knows you by the fruit that you bear. The devil knows you by the fruit of your life. The devil knows that the fruit of love and joy and peace is manifest in your life. The authority that those things bring, the fruit of the Spirit, are so powerful. In fact, it says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, keep or feed, you know, keep, it's like a shepherd keeps his flock. He defends it defensively. He also feeds it the right things with green pastures and pure waters, right? So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. And that word issue is an interesting word. It's like it's translated wellsprings or a bursting forth. Another translation said this. It says, out of it, out of your heart, flow the forces of life. Peace is a force. Love is a force. It's not just a force, and it's more than that. But the fact that God is all-powerful. And when he loves, it's an all-powerful force that could not be stopped. His peace could not be stopped in stopping that storm. So if you have, so this is the kind of fruit that Jesus is telling us that we need to bear, that he is not only that, he's ordained us to bring forth this fruit, and that fruit should remain.
That's right, amen.
Marta was in our nursing home ministry. She was one of the leaders in our nursing home ministry. And when we got out of that ministry and handed it over to her, the Andrews, just some beautiful, beautiful people. And I think it was, what, 3 or 4 years ago, we ran into Beverly Andrews at Costco. And she said, the nursing home ministry is still going strong. You know, it's still good. It was before the pandemic. I remember that. And as I walked away from that conversation with Lori and I, and the Lord said to me, that's fruit that remains. And Marta is carrying that on now, right?
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. I said hallelujah. Praise God. And what is that? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You know long-suffering has a power, it's a force that the devil tries to reckon with all the time with you. He comes up and says, yeah, you'll give up. There's always tomorrow. I'll be back. You know, does he ever say that to you? I mean, you know, you can't do this forever. It's like, who says so? This is an eternal force here. This is an eternal power and empowerment of the Spirit called the fruit of the Spirit that is in my recreated human spirit. It is mine, and I stand in that space right now. In the name of Jesus, you don't have any power here. Devil, go.
That's right.
That's resisting him.
That's right.
And you know what? It'll say, and when the angels hear that stuff, the warrior angels just kind of come.
Yes, they do.
And at the speed of light, and they just look at him, and he flees. But here's the thing. He flees not from God. He flees from you. He doesn't flee from the angels. He flees from you. Wow, praise God. Kindness. Too little kindness in this world. Goodness. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. Like I said before, this country is filled. Actually, I was going to say this world, but they've been releasing their prisoners into our country now. So what we got is prisons that are filled with people that have no patience, no love, no joy, no peace, no long-suffering, no kindness, no gentleness. They're self-centered. They are a vacuum cleaner for everything wrong in this world. And it all gets deposited. They pulled the stops out, and they let all the world's junk flow in. And they end up in prison. And all the time, God says, look, this belongs to you if you want it. It's in you. You can cultivate it. You can grow it. You can yield to love rather than react in hate. You can yield to joy rather than the depression that this world tries to throw at you. I mean, let's just say this. Let's say Kamala Harris won the election. It's like, can you imagine the depression that would come on the church? That's not a time to get depressed. That's a time to get called to arms, the arms of prayer, the arms of praise, the arms that will bring God on the scene and change. And something about this, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. With our praise and with our prayers, we can tell her what she's going to do. Because God still honors that constitution that he co-authored. And it limits her, and it empowers the people.
Yes.
Praise God. So that's a call to arms. I'm not saying she's going to win. We got to get out there and vote, don't we? So these are the things. Now, we're talking about stewardship today. And what are the things that we are, you know, here's the thing. Every time a pastor stands up and talks about stewardship, they think, oh, this is about money. This is about my money. This is about, and then they're thinking about their car payments, their house payments, this, that, and the other thing. They're thinking about, oh, the kids. And they get into a mindset, and they can't even hear the rest of the sermon, what I'm really talking about here.
That's right.
It's not about money. It never was and it never is. Money is something that is meant to serve you, not you to serve it.
Amen.
Pui!
That's right. Amen.
We are to steward what God has placed on the inside of us, the life of God.
Amen.
The eternal life, the Zoe life of God is in you. It is the life and the nature of God is in you. What is that nature? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentle. Look, it's already in you.
Amen.
Turn to I'm sorry, I didn't say give you this before Stephen, but turn to Philemon. It's just one chapter. In my book, I think it's 740, but that helps you. Philemon and verse 6. Read this book, too. I mean, it'll that the communication of your faith becomes effective when you acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. When you start to acknowledge the love that is in you, the joy that is in you, the peace. Now, you may have to. This isn't something you just kind of work up. This is something that you yield to. How do you yield to joy in the midst of sorrow? It's by understanding who God is and how much he loves you.
Amen.
Who God is. I mean, Moses said, let me see you. And he said, you can't. If you do, you die.
That's right.
I need you in the earth a little while longer. Because just to see him, your senses could not take it. You're done. But you have been recreated in your spirit. And when you lose this temple and you join him with your heavenly temple, now you're equipped to actually see him with the eyes that he intended that you have all the time. With the eyes that Adam had when he walked with God in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve. And he taught them. Praise God. Stewardship of the life of God. And all of the outworkings of that life that have been placed under us to steward. The dominion of man. We are to steward the dominion of man in the earth. The devil doesn't have any dominion. Angels don't have dominion. We do. Man does. God gave man dominion in the earth, and that never changed, even with the fall. Now, because of the fall, he was not able to operate in that dominion for very long because he was totally deceived. But when the truth comes, what happens? It opens your eyes and you can see. And now you are free to exercise that dominion. Dominion over what? Over sin, over the devil, over all the attributes of the devil and all the deception that the devil brings. You have authority, you have dominion over that. You know, the devil is a disembodied spirit. He has no dominion in this earth. In order to operate in the physical realm, he needs that physical body. So what he does is he goes into a snake. Nowadays, what he does is he goes into people by whispering in their ears deceptive thoughts. The ears of their thoughts, their minds. He starts to infiltrate them with deceptive thoughts. He starts to get people together to talk his language, which is totally embedded in deception. That's how he rules. And when those thoughts get up to leaders and rulers of this world, the kings and the presidents and the dictators and so forth, and they're deceived, what happens? The world gets deceived and operates under their dominion. So, but they still have dominion because they have that physical body that the devil is using. That doesn't mean they're possessed with the devil or anything, although they probably are if they're a dictator. We have been given stewardship over the authority that we have in Christ. Wow. We have been given stewardship of our identity in Christ. Praise God. I wrote down a few thoughts here today. You know, for those of you who may still be thinking about money, let me bring you back to this here. Money is an inanimate object. It has no mind of its own, no agenda of its own. It has no feelings whatsoever about where it is spent, what it is spent on, or what it desires to accomplish. Money and everything associated with money is completely controlled by and at the discretion of people. It has absolutely no power at all. It is man that gives money power to do what man wants to do. It's too bad, though, that man gets tangled up in that power, and that power wraps around him and gets him to serve the money rather than money to serve him. God, back in Deuteronomy, told Moses to tell the people that it is God who gives you wealth, who gives you the power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. What does that mean? To give everything to the church? No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is he has given you power to get wealth so that you can establish his covenant in your life. And as you do, you become a sower and a harvester of things that you can be able to give to the church more and more based on the percentage that, on a percent of what you produce with that established covenant blessing of God. That's, again, whose dominion is that under? You, me, us. You, me, and us. That be us. That be me. So, money, assets, wealth, whether it be jewels, gold, silver, investment portfolios, whatever it is, they are simply mediums of exchange. And to serve the purposes of the owners of those things. So money is a servant. Did you know that your faith is your servant? It is. Money is a servant. God made man in his own image and according to his very likeness, which places man in a class that he is subservient to no one other than God. I'm not saying he's not to be submitted to anybody but God, but subservient to nobody but God. That means you owe God everything.
Amen.
And the kingdom, you subservient to God and the kingdom through which God operates. I had a guy tell me, in fact, he went to this church and he was leaving. He was going to another church and everything. I had lunch with him one day. And I said, okay, well, here's what you do. If you go to a church, because he was like in and out and in and out. I said, just get to a church and submit to that church.
Amen.
He said, I don't submit to any man. Wow. Now, that violates a spiritual law right there, which is listed in 1 John chapter 4, I believe. Where it says, if you say you love God and not man, how can you say you love man who you can see when you, how can you say you love God who you can't see when you don't love man who you can see? How can you submit to God who you can't see when you won't submit to the order that God has set up in this world, in the church, where he has called some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to edify the saints? So we are obligated to submit to the order that God has set up.
That's right.
I am submitted.
Amen.
To people. I am accountable to people and so forth. And you are the fruit of that. Paul said, you are our epistle. I'm getting into something I shouldn't even be getting into. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. God operates orderly and through a system.
That's right.
Amen. And he establishes order in that system. And you know what? If you don't like it, then don't submit to it. You're totally free to do that. I'm not saying you'll be blessed if you do or blessed if you don't. Or cursed if you don't. But here, if you honor God, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, he who honors me, I will honor. Like I said, obedience gets reward, submission gets honored. So, if people still make a big deal out of money, it's usually because they haven't realized the value of the true riches, like the fellowship we have with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, and with each other. When we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship together. We can fellowship around the truth and free ourselves from the deception that comes to us all. Stewardship. You getting the picture?
Amen.
Stewardship. I heard one amen. You guys getting the picture of this? Look, God has a system and you can get in it. And when you get in it, it's amazing how all of a sudden things will just manifest in your life. The blessings of God. It's all good. Because you can talk about money and wealth and all that stuff all you want. I'm talking about spiritual law that always works, that is always ready. It's everything in place for us to just walk in. Spiritual law. When you operate in the law of submission, you will be exalted. When you operate in the law of accountability, when you operate in the law of commitment, when you operate in the law of consistency, when you operate in the law of stewardship, the devil can't touch you.
Amen.
How would you like to know? Listen to this. That if you made any mistakes, any failures, or anything from this point on, you would not be responsible for one of them. You wouldn't be penalized for one. How would you like that?
Amen.
You wouldn't suffer any loss. You wouldn't do any. Because here's how. Submit to God's word.
Amen.
Be accountable to God.
Right.
First. And that's being accountable for your heart, for your thoughts, for your words, for your actions, for your decisions, for the things that are going on in your heart even right now. That's the voice that you need to listen to, is the voice that's inside of you when I'm speaking. You can do what you want with my words, but it's the one inside that is prompting you, and it's the inward witness.
Amen.
Got to understand, so accountable, be committed, be consistent, and steward the things that God has given you. And you know what? You know who's responsible for that? Are you responsible? No, God is responsible for the outcome of his own system that he's called you to operate in. And those root systems, submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, stewardship, they all form and converge in one place and start to blossom faithfulness.
Yes.
And it gives off an aroma in the spirit that Jesus cannot resist. He doesn't want to resist. It's his own. Faithfulness. It revives. It just does something in him, the love that he has for God, for the Father and the Spirit and you. And this is why it's the love that caused him to elevate you to a position of joint heir with Jesus.
Yes. Hallelujah.
The grace of God is amazing. You can't, there's nothing worth doing, let's put it that way. Thank you, Jesus. And I've had people say to me too, you know, we'd be counseling and one of them said, well, if I just submitted everything to God, I mean, what kind of a life would that give me?
The best.
And I like, what? Really? What life did you have before Jesus came in? Zero, nada, nothing, agony, pain, remorse, resentment, bitterness. You want me to go on? You had a pile of it and no hope to get rid of any of it. And Jesus came in and he said, I paid for it all. Come to me and I'll take that burden and I'll carry it for you. I'll do away. In fact, here's what I'll do. Come to the throne for a minute and see the blood that is speaking to the Father on your behalf right now. And let me just take a little bit and cleanse you and purge your conscience, your soul, and wipe you all of that sin. Jesus. Jesus. Do you know how much he wants to do that on a daily basis with each of us? What life did any of us have? Oh, the devil tries to make the world look so good. But when the fire hits it, you duck. Anything we do in the kingdom begins with stewardship. It begins first with submission. Submission to what? Submission to the word of God. What the word says, what does that mean? Be a doer of the word. You know, that's the primary example that we have of Jesus as a doer of the word, as a total and complete submitted to the word of God.
Yes.
And if he did it, that's good enough for me.
That's right.
Mm. By the way, he is the word who was made flesh. And that word who is made flesh lives in you. He said, I'll walk in them. Do you know your spirit has legs, arms? It looks just like you do. That's your spirit man. That's the recreated part of you. And Jesus is still a man. It says, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Can we turn there for a minute? You got to see this. And let your eyes just fall upon this. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. He is still a man. When he left his throne of glory in heaven and became a man, the eternal sacrifice that he made is still a man. He's still a man. And you know what? He's just as much God as the Father is.
That's right.
And here's another thing. He's just as human as you and me. Can you steward that? Anything we do in the kingdom revolves submission. It involves accountability. What does that mean? Be honest. By the way, this just came to me. Lori said to me, Lori goes on Facebook. I don't go on any social media, but Lori fields all that stuff for me. So she says, your cousin Jeff, you know my cousin Jeff? Because John played golf with him. He lives in Myrtle Beach, and John was on vacation. He says, I think I'm going to go to Myrtle Beach. So my cousin took him out golfing at their golf, their country club, I guess what it was. And he got a hole in one. Did you see that, John? He got a hole in one. I'm bragging on you, Jeff. He watches this. He goes to a great church down there in Myrtle Beach. And praise God. But did you know, it just seems to me like when you're swinging and everything is just going in the right way, when you're in Christ and everything is going the right way, there's no reason why you can't do a hole in one. In every decision, every day, every attitude that comes your way, every thought the devil puts in your mind, or whatever it is, filter it through the Word of God. And Rick? Rick's a golfer. I mean, he is a G-O-L-F-E-R golfer. All capitals. And they call my cousin. He's a real short guy. But they call him at the country, they call him pound for pound. Because he pounds the ball. And he's still up about 260, 270, something like that on his drive. And I guess he's in his 60s now. He's retired, but he's doing very well. But be honest. Be accountable. Too many fish stories, too many golf stories, too many things about what we can do. Look, God doesn't mind us having fun and everything, but just be accountable, will you? And where God is, be responsible for your own thoughts, your own attitudes and things. Those are the things that you need to really be accountable to God for. So nothing begins in the kingdom without submission, without accountability, and without commitment. You know, James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let him not think that he will receive anything from the Lord.
That's right.
Why is that? Well, if you pray in faith and you're double-minded, you can't stay in faith long enough to receive the answer. That's why you're not going to receive anything from the Lord. It's not that God's mad at you. It's that you can't stand still long enough to receive it.
Wow, amen.
Be committed.
That's right.
I'm reminded of what was it, that comedian, Jonathan Winters? He used to commit himself to an asylum every year just to get help. But at least he did something, you know, to help himself. There's a lot of Christians walking around who will not commit to anything, who will not commit even a prayer time or anything or study of the Word of God. Be committed. Follow through.
Yes.
Nothing happens in the kingdom of God without consistency. Consistency is so important. You know, you get Christians on the mountaintop and then you got them in the valley and they're up when things are up and they're down when things are down and there's no consistency in their life. That means that their faith is determined by their circumstances instead of by the Word of God.
Wow.
Be consistent with the Word, and that's how you turn your situations around.
Yeah.
This is how, instead of staying in the valley of the shadow of death, you're walking, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And that's how you'll be free from fear, too, is your faith maintains you in the valley just as much as it is on the mountain. Your faith, but if your faith depends on the mountain or the valley, and here's here's another thing. You can look all through the New Testament. You will never see the word consistent. You won't. It's not, consistency is not there. There's only one time where the word consist, and that's talking about what is, it says, in him all things consist or are held together. But the word consist, it's only modeled by the saints of the New Testament, and we see in the, like in the book of Acts and so forth, and we see it modeled in the life of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Even on the cross, when he was in agony on that cross, he still exuded the same love and mercy and forgiveness that he preached about on the mount. Jesus! Nothing happens in the kingdom, in your life, without submission, accountability, commitment, and consistency. You know, God honors consistency so much. I mean, it honors him. And it's such a glowing witness to people around you. When they see what you're going through and you're still filled with joy, and you say, well, you know, everything's going to work out. I know I have a good God. I have a rich Father. I have a loving God. I have a loving Savior. And they say, how can he do that? I think we need to get him some medical help, you know, some psychiatric help. You know, Andrew Womack's, his staff came to him one time when he was going through, there was something really horrendous that hit the whole ministry. And they wanted to get him examined because he says, you can't handle this. He says, does God live in me? Tell me one thing that God can't handle. I have never seen anybody more consistent in this life, in a human body, than him, than Andrew Womack. He is awesome. He is honored every day in heaven. I know it. For the work that he has done is gold, silver, and precious gems.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. And so, stewardship, submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, and stewardship, when these things converge together, devil, watch out. Because when those things, when God's, when they converge together and faithfulness comes in, and you become the number one enemy of God's number one enemy, you become the number one target of the devil. You know why? That shouldn't scare you, by the way. Because if these things be in you and abound, they will make you so that you will never fall, Peter said. And the devil will say, oh, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. And you say, excuse me? Do you remember the phrase, it is written? It is written.
That's right.
It is written.
It is written.
It is written. Well, that all that was written to me about you.
That's right.
Like a
fire. And the devil, did he ever lay a glove on Jesus? Not until Jesus led him. Because it was the princes of this world that crucified him. And he submitted not only to the evil men of this world, but to the demons and the demonic realm. Now, you talk about a guy who was on the mountain and in the valley. I mean, he went to the worst depths and the worst pain of hell that there is. Why is that? Well, there's the book of the Lamb, and then there's the book of deeds, right? Because if your name is not found in the book of life, you will be found in the book of deeds, where all your works, all of them, will be listed. They're there. But if you're in Christ, all of those get dumped out and they are non-existent as far as God is concerned.
Amen.
If you come to Jesus. So there are some people, the Hitlers and the Stalins and the President Xi's and Kim Jong-un and all of these despots, Saddam Hussein's, who do you know that Jesus paid for their sins? The worst of the worst of the worst. He went to the worst part. And there are different compartments in hell. Based, I mean, I see that in the Word. And different levels for different... And he went to the worst. Why? Because he had to pay for their sins as much as anybody else's. Why is it that we stand up and just prideful and arrogant? Just humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. And don't be in that puffed up, high, and blowing smoke. I wish I could take credit for that, but I didn't. That was Keith Moore said that about pride. And I study that man. He is an amazing man of God who came up under amazing man of God. He grew up under Kenneth Hagin's ministry. And served Kenneth Hagin as his assistant. That man, he just moves, and the angels say, "What can we do for you?" It's just an honor. So I'll quote, and he probably got it from Kenneth Hagin, who knows? Praise God. So what we're talking about here is spiritual love. This is not a Tony Robbins self-improvement way to get rich scheme of stewardship, okay? It's this is not that kind of thing. This is the kingdom of God. This is how it operates. Yeah. This is how you operate in it. The way up is the way down. Gotcha. To serve.
Amen.
To he who's greatest among you, let him be your servant.
Right.
You know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first.
Amen.
That's a spiritual principle. Let God exalt you, and if he does, nobody's going to put you down. If God exalts you, nobody can defeat you. Nobody can discourage you. Nobody. Even those who yawn. You got to lighten up, guys. I mean, you got to have fun in church. This is family time, and God wants to take you, and he wants to show you what does work. And he's not asking to do something that he never did himself, because he did all of this. And he did it for you. You do it for him. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20 says, what? Okay. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Aren't you glad God bought you? That sounds like slavery to me. No, slavery is when a man owns a man. And that is like one of the most disgusting sins that there is in all of this world. But God owns you for a reason. To liberate you. To make you everything you were created to be. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And you better thank God that they are his. Because if they're his, the devil won't touch them. Am I saying that you'll never be attacked? Oh, no. You're not exempt from persecution. That's one thing God never took away from the church. But you can handle it and rise above it.
Yes.
Praise God. You know, I walked into our room at home. Lori was watching Joyce Meyer. She had Joyce Meyer on the TV. Joyce Meyer was going through one of her, you know, things. And she's, okay, well, I thought I'd just tell you all today how to be miserable. And don't ever give anything to anybody. You know, live for yourself. You are the important one in this relationship. Never submit to anybody. Da, 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 da. And she went down this whole list. And she said, how many can fellowship? How many of you are, you know? And a few hands went up. Honest hands, I guess. And she said, the reason that list of about 15 things, she said, that was me up until not too long ago. All of these things were active in my life, and that's why I was so miserable. And God has been merciful in working with me. I mean, if you came out of the mess she did, I don't know if you know this, and all the abuse she took as a betrayed by her father and her mother. Her brother ended up committing suicide because her father was so abusive. She and the things that she's had to deal with, she brought to God. And you know what? God, look what God did. She went low, and God exalted her and brought her high. If he did it for her, anybody can operate in submission, accountability. And don't say you can't. You have in your temple the God himself, who cannot lie, cannot be defeated. You have a promise from Jesus about all of these things. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your mortal body. You have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you, the Spirit of the living God, promising you. I guess you could say stewardship is the underlying message of stewardship. If you get over yourself, how many of you had to get over yourself?
Oh, yeah.
How about this morning? I mean, Lori and I get up pretty early on Sunday and get over yourself. Man, it's a privilege to rise up and know that God has you. Isn't that good? That was worth combing your hair and coming to church today, wasn't it? Well, except Brian. But he does it on purpose. Praise God. Some of us don't have that option. John 15:13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, that doesn't mean that that our love is, our love is seen at its peak when we do get to that place where we're willing to lay down our life for somebody else. But what he's talking about is our way of life. This is what Paul said in Acts 20 when he said, I don't consider my life dear unto myself. He says, I'm heading to Jerusalem, and I don't know everything that's going to befall me, but the Spirit says that nothing but bonds and affliction await me. But he says, none of those things move me. His mission moved him. Our mission, should you decide to accept it, is get people saved. Get people saved.
Amen.
Lock with each other. Lock shields with each other. And just go into this world and start getting people saved.
Hallelujah.
Start speaking the truth. The devil will say, oh, you can't do that. Watch me.
That's
right. Watch me.
Amen.
Oh, Rick, can you hand those out? I'm going to hand out. This is like a little synopsis of what we've done this month. The original is like 40 pages long or whatever, but I just figured I'd give you just a snapshot synopsis of fruit sacks, submission, accountability, commitment, consistency, and stewardship. And something, see, these series are not designed to get into every single thing that we can possibly get into about these. It's just to open these things up for you so that you can do your, it can give you a path to run on as you study these things and put them to work in your life. I mean, and let me close by saying this. I think of all of the volunteers in this body. I think of Phil and the worship team. I think of the ushers. I think of Stephen and John over there. I think of the greeters and every, but I also think of KPA and all of the volunteers that we have over there in KPA. Do you know that that is stewardship of a calling that God has placed? And Ariana is a volunteer. John is a volunteer over in KPA. And there are several others. Who else? Did I miss anybody? Speak now or forever. Hold your argument. Lydia is a volunteer. And I'll tell you something. You ought to see what she's prepared for us today. I mean, we got meatballs and cupcakes. And yo! We got good stuff over there. You know, that's a good question. Because none of us can figure that out. I can't even figure out when my golf ball goes straight. How did that happen? So, but here's the thing. Those fall under the gift of helps. And when you operate in helps, you are operating with the same Holy Ghost who is in you, who is the helper. And he will exalt you. He will lift you. You go low, you will be exalted. So let me encourage you, steward those positions, and God will exalt you. He will. He will. Because he's faithful. And that's all he asks us to be. Be faithful. And you'll be operating in a law that won't stop. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it will not return to you void, but it will accomplish that which you have sent it and prosper in its purpose. Lord, we are prosperous in the purpose that you've called us to. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for light. Thank you for truth. Thank you for grace. Thank you for all the things that you have just laid out there for us. Thank you, and we just take time now to acknowledge those good things that are in us in Christ so that our faith becomes more effective, that our fruit begin to speak for us, and you know that based on the fruit that we already have, we can handle more, that you may give it to us when we ask in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that we cannot be stopped. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.